Okay, so we're going back to 1 Peter tonight. We have a real good chance of getting out of here before 8 o'clock. So keep praying about that too, all right? 1 Peter, and we're in, we finished up the first part of chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and we're going to go now and finish that chapter tonight. Yeah, we're going to finish it. I think we can do it. It's only 12 verses. You got 6 done last week, get 12 done this week. Got the faith? Yes, you got it. All right, let's go one more time to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit that gave it, delivered it to us through those holy men of old, Lord. How he led them to write it down and record it so we have it today, that we can use it and that you can use it to guide us, Lord. And we're both working on it together. We'll get there. By your Holy Spirit and by your word, Lord, help us. And by each of us helping one another. Help us, Lord, to show that love and help one another. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week, the Holy Spirit in the first part of chapter 4 tells us to arm ourselves. Arm yourself. And he tells us to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, which leads us to liberation, not sin. When you follow the mind of Christ, you're liberated. You're freed. You're freed to do any kind of good thing you can do for anybody you want. There's no limit. There's no bound on it. You can show all the love you want. There's no limit, no boundaries. So he gives us that. The mind of Christ gives us that liberation, that freedom from sin. Now, how do we do that? How do we arm ourselves? This is done by obeying God to the death of our will. Obeying God to the death of our will. That's what we have to do. We have to put our old man to death. Our old woman, I was going to say lady, but it didn't sound very nice. But you know what I'm talking about. It applies to men and women. It's not a generic thing. It's non-generic. We all need to do it. What am I talking about? The death of our selfish desires. That's what they're rightly called. The things we want that we won't give up for the Lord. Those are selfish desires. Let's just call them what they are, okay? I've already blown the being nice part, so might as well go for it, right? So we need to do that. Obey Christ. Have His mind in us. His mind was all about obeying God to the death of our will. Isn't that what Jesus did? He gave himself up totally. Mind, body, spirit, everything. He sold out to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
The death of our will. What does that mean? The death of our will. The death of our will is denying our flesh through the obedience to God's word. That's how you slay the old person. You obey God and deny the old person. And you better do it in that order. If you're just trying to deny the old person, you're on your own. You're trying to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. So I say do it in that order. Trust the Lord and put the old person to death. Amen? We must accept this fact. You know, get this in your brain and keep it there. Accept the fact that you have to die to self. It's essential to your joyful Christian life. You're not going to have joy as a Christian until you do that. Because you're going to have one foot in each camp. And it won't work. A house divided cannot stand. Amen? So you must do it. We must accept that fact, and we must also accept the fact that the world of flesh holds nothing but heartache. The world of flesh, everything you can see, feel, touch, hear, see, all of that, it just brings nothing but heartache. Because you get your desires on those things and you won't let go of it, and then you can't serve the Lord the way you want to. You can't even serve each other the way you want to. All that stuff sitting around your house, out in your yard, stored up wherever you have it stored up. All that stuff. That's what your flesh wanted. And what are you using it for now? I went over to somebody's house today to help them put a battery in their motorcycle, and there's a boat on a trailer sitting there in the yard. I said, whose boat is that? Well, they told me who it was. How long's that been sitting there? Don't know, can't even remember. What are they going to do with it? I don't know. One of these days, like, they hope to get back on the water. Just tell them to sell it. Because it's just going to waste right there. It's just falling apart. You might as well sell it and get something while you can. Because pretty soon you won't get anything. You'll have to unload that boat in the yard and just sell the trailer. It'll be the only thing worth a hoot, right? Accept the fact that the world of flesh holds nothing but heartache. Oh, I know that's hard to accept. Have you ever heard anybody tell you that before? Have you ever heard a preacher say that before? No, because it's too raw. But folks, we live in a day and age where we need that. There's no more sugarcoating it. We're getting too close to sugarcoat it anymore. Accept the fact that the world holds nothing for you. Nothing. In our acceptance of that fact is the death of sin. Did you ever think of it that way? When you give it all to Jesus, your sin desire dies because you're in Him now. You have His mind. You're not focused on the flesh anymore. You're focused on Him, on His Spirit, on what you can do for His kingdom, on how you can help brothers and sisters, how you can help people that aren't brothers and sisters yet. That's where our focus should be. Our acceptance of the fact that is the death of sin replaced by the joy of the life of Christ. Did Christ have an easy life or a hard life? Hard life. Did He have a joy-filled life or not? Hard life, but full of joy. That's what the mind of Christ is. It's a hard life, but it's full of joy because you're living it for Him. You're not living it for you anymore. You don't care about that stuff you bought last week. No, it doesn't matter anymore. You now realize it's worthless. It's worthless. You have to have a roof over your head. You have to have food to eat. You have to have clothes to wear. There's some essentials that you have to have. But beyond that, it's just desire, isn't it? Well, I don't see too many heads saying, yeah, you're right. You're right. No, I've gone through this myself. I go out in my yard. I look around. There's stuff sitting around everywhere. I wish I'd get rid of it. Nobody wants it anymore. I'm stuck with it. But we have to realize that accepting the fact that the world has nothing for us. In fact, if we have the mind of Christ, it's the death of sin ruling our lives, then we can have the joy of the life of Christ. That's where it is. That's why it's so hard to accept. Because it's a tough life. But it can be a life full of joy. And we need to remember that. Being joyful in obedience to Christ while expecting no lasting joy from the fleeting world of the flesh. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to say that again, right? Being joyful in obedience to Christ and expecting nothing, no lasting joy from the fleeting world of the flesh. That's where your happiness lies. That's where your joy lies. Did Jesus expect those people that were killing him on the cross to have any pity on him or anything? No, he didn't. He didn't cry out for mercy. He didn't cry out for pity. He knew what he had to do. Have this mind that's in you that was in Christ. Don't expect the world to treat you nice. Don't expect that. It's worse now than it ever was. It's not going to get better because we're too close to He's coming back. We're close. Don't expect any lasting joy from the world. You might have it for a moment, but it's not going to last. Forgive. Forgive. Forgive, expecting only joy from Christ, not from those you're forgiving. Expect your joy to come from Christ. If the person you're forgiving gives you any joy at all, it's not going to be there very long. They're in the world too. They're dealing with it. Expect only joy from Christ in the knowledge that you did what He wanted you to do. You fulfilled the mission. You did His will, not yours. You did what He wanted you to do. You did what this Word said to do. You did it. It was hard. It wasn't fun. But you kept in mind while you were doing it, I'm doing this for Him. Well, I'm helping somebody, but I'm doing this for Him. Didn't He say, if He even gave a glass of cold water in My name? You didn't do it for them. You did it for Him. That's why we should be doing these things. Living His will. Having His mind. Forgetting about what you desire. He won't deny you what you need. He won't deny you what you need. But He wants you to do His will. Okay? Now, I've talked enough about that. I need to move on. So we're now going to go on into chapter 4. We're going to look at chapter 4, verse 7, starting at verse 7. I probably ought to read the whole thing so it doesn't sound all choppy to you. And so let's do that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 7. And we'll read all the way through to the end of it. Okay? And then we'll go back and look at it.
What translation are you?
I'm in the New King James. As far as translation goes, I don't care what you're using, God will use it to open your eyes and lead you. Okay? Here we go. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Amen. Let's go back to verse 7. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Are we sensing that the end is near? Are you getting that feeling? Are you seeing things happening in the world that say, it's coming real soon. He's coming back and it's going to happen pretty soon. Yes, we're seeing that. I think we can all agree on that. Consequently, we should be taking serious note of what's going on around us. Because it just looks more and more like the time is right. It could happen any moment. The way our prayers may be focused and purposeful to our goal of doing the will of Christ, that's what our prayer should be. Purposeful to doing the will of Christ. Having His mind in us. Doing things His way. Surrendering ourselves to Him. Amen? So, this way our prayers may be focused and purposeful to our goal of doing the will of Christ, which is living out His example to further the gospel. Dear ones, that's what we're to be doing. Living out His example to draw lost souls into His kingdom. That's what we're to be doing. It's not about us. It's about Him and them. When Liz and I were younger, we had foster children. And I used to kid people because she had a son by a marriage, I had a son by a marriage, and then we had foster kids. And people would say, you know, well, whose kids are those? And I say, well, they're theirs, they're hers, mine, and theirs. That's what I tell them. They're hers, mine, and theirs. I thought it was kind of funny. They laugh sometimes. All right, so the thing is that we have to live out the example of Christ. Why? I just told you why. That's what He wants us to do. That's His will for us. Be an example for Him. No matter what. No matter how irritating a person is to you. No matter how mean they are, no matter how they steal from you and rob from you, no matter what they do, forgive. Would He forgive them? Yeah, He would. That's what He wants us to do, amen? Be Him to the people we encounter. Have His mind in us to do His will. We are to be spreading His gospel. Period. Let's go on to verse 8. I'm going to read down through verse 11. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak God's word. That's what you're supposed to be speaking. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen means that's the way it is. It's His. That's never going to change. Let it be done that way, because that's the way He wants it done. What is fervent love? Have you ever thought about that? What is fervent love? It has nothing to do with passion. So you can just pitch that right on out. It has nothing to do with emotion. Fervent love is a choice. And it's a hard choice. Because fervent love is the love of Christ. It's not easy. Think of this. The whole time Jesus was on that cross, He never uttered a word of condemnation. Not one word of condemnation to those people who were right there in front of Him. Some theologians think that Jesus wasn't high and lifted up. He was only a few feet off the ground, and the people that were there were right in front of Him. So close they could spit on Him. He never uttered a word of condemnation. Why? Because He said Himself, I did not come in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Me might be saved. You can't save something you've condemned. So there was no condemnation in Him. That's the way we're supposed to be. Not easy. The love that forgives in order to lift others up, encourage them, draw them closer to Jesus. Yes, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's not our way. That's not our will. But that's His will. Not easy. And you know, the closer they are to Christ, the more sins, even in their mind, are covered. Yeah. No, they're not fully covered. They haven't accepted Him as their Savior, but they're coming closer and closer and closer and closer, and each time they're given a little more up and given a little more up and given a little more up until finally they say yes. The Holy Spirit has loved them in and wooed them in until they finally say yes. The more sins in their minds are covered. You know what that means? When your sins are covered? Forgiven. Yes, Linda, they're forgiven. When your sins are covered, they're forgiven. They're not just covered for a few minutes or a few days or a year. They're covered for eternity. They're covered by the blood of Christ. And the Father never lifts that blood up and says, I see what you were before. No, He doesn't do that. This love doesn't focus on the sins of others, but on the healing of others. That's what we're supposed to be. Agents of healing. Agents of healing. Not easy. Not easy. Healers aren't grumblers. That's what it says. Be hospitable. Don't be grumbling about it. Do it. But have the mind of Christ in you as you do it. Because it's not going to happen if you don't. We have all been gifted by skills through God's grace, by God's grace, to help heal others. Isn't that what Jesus did? He used His gifts and talents to heal people. You can read about it in the New Testament, but you can't read about all of them because the Bible says He did so many, even all the books in the whole world couldn't hold it. He went about healing people. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. Be a healer. Use your gifts to bring them into the kingdom. Whether speaking or serving, spiritual gifts are many and varied. as varied as the spiritual challenges that humanity faces. You can't name them. There's not enough books to cover all that, all the things wrong with people. You have to come to this conclusion. This is what happened to me the other day. I'm driving in my car. I have a hard time driving my car. Boy, I get on to people, right? And it was like at one intersection, there were three or four people that were just like zoned out. I was almost beside myself. And then I came to this conclusion. There are stupid people everywhere. There are stupid people everywhere. I'm just being transparent. I'm telling you exactly why. There are stupid people everywhere. You can't complain about all of them, so you just forget about it. Don't complain. Just accept the fact they're there and work your way through it. No sense hollering and screaming about it. Won't do any good. They can't hear me anyway. I'm in my car, not theirs. Come to that conclusion that the only thing you can do is accept the world as it is, have the mind of Christ in you, and minister to others and heal. Help heal them. Because I think if you don't do that, you're going to go bonkers. trying to think of what you could do to them. Believers are to oversee and manage their gifts to benefit both now and eternally Christ and those in His eternal kingdom. Well, I just said a mouthful, folks. You were given those gifts so you could use them to His glory. And if you use them to His glory, the benefits won't be short term. They'll be eternal. Verse 12 through 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. That must have been what happened to me in that car the other day. This is so weird, all these people. No, don't think it strange that fiery trial is going on, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The celebration will be on because you did His will. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, the world, on their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Glorified. And you get to live in that joy. You're glorifying the Lord. That's joy, joy, joy. And you're in it. And no one can take that away. No one. And He'll keep giving it. And He'll keep giving it. And He'll keep giving it. Just as long as you have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus and you're doing His will, He'll keep the joy coming. Beloved, because we're moving closer and closer to the end, we should expect more trials of our faith and service. That's what's going to happen. The closer we get to the end, the crazier people out there are going to get. And you still have to deal with it with the mind of Christ. You still have to be a testimony to them. You have to be a witness to them. You have to be a glory to Him. Amen. Won't be easy. You better be calling on the Holy Spirit a whole lot. Instant in prayer. These trials are not just happenstance. It's not coincidental. Their purpose is to indicate an urgency of time and action. Time's growing short. We don't have time to sit around and wonder anymore about it. We need to get busy. We've got a job to do. We've got a message to give. We have a life to live, but not our life. His life lived through us. to His glory. Amen? The adjective fiery would indicate that these trials may become more difficult and painful. Yes. They probably will become more difficult and painful. I love it that you're laughing. See, you're feeling the joy. You have the joy. Because when you walk down that road, you've been down that path with somebody, you know it's just the joy of the Lord that keeps you going. That's it. Some of you have been there. We will need to go there again. It's not over, folks. It's just like Yogi said, you know, Yogi Berra, not Yogi Bear. Yogi Berra said, not over till it's over. Exactly, Frank. That's what he said. Not over till it's over. Yeah, me too. The adjective fiery would indicate these trials may become more difficult and painful. That's what the world of flesh brings. That's the world of flesh. They bring more trials, more difficulty, more pain. In fact, believers should anticipate more persecution as Christ's return draws near. It's already happening around the world. It's beginning to happen here a little bit, but you don't hear anything about it. Why not? Because the media, the secular media, doesn't want to tell you about it. They don't want to get all those Christians fired up. Next thing you know, they'll be out in the streets doing something.
The Bible says that those who are godly life and evil men are going to wax worse and worse.
So we better stop. Should we stop?
No.
No, of course not. I just wanted to see how your reaction would be. No, don't stop.
Forward.
He's the hope of the world. And He's living in you, and you are representing Him. You are representing. Remember when people used to say that? Are you representing? Yeah, I am. The world brings all that tribulation and trouble. And we are called to help people work through it and come to know the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why God doesn't take new believers out. He wants you to be here and live His life and help them get saved. Amen? We should anticipate more persecution as His return draws near. As we face these trials, we should cling to the relationship we have with Christ and His suffering. We need to keep that in our mind. Christ suffered so people could be saved. So we could be saved. So I could be saved. That's why He suffered. That's why He's asking you to do the same thing He did. Give up your will. You might just say, give up your life. Give it up for Him. He'll show you what He wants you to do. He'll take you where He wants you to go. He'll give you the words to speak. How many times have we heard that? But are we doing it? I'm as guilty as everybody in here. Give up your will. Don't look to the world for comfort and joy. It's fleeting. We got a peek at the joy which was revealed at His resurrection, didn't we? After Christ endured the cross, He was exalted on high. Keep refreshing that joy. Keep rehearsing that joy in that bond, the bond that was created between you and Christ by your service of suffering. The giving of your will to Christ. That's your service of suffering. It's not easy. It's not something people want to do, to give up their will, give it up to serve the Lord. But He calls you to do it. Because one day your joy will be great, greater than anything you've ever known. Keep rehearsing that bond of joy that's created through your suffering of service, the giving of your will to Christ, giving it to the King of Kings, and your greater joy yet revealed as Christ is glorified. When His glory is revealed, you'll be part of that. You'll be right there with Him. We can't even imagine it. I sincerely believe that's why people don't get excited when you say stuff like that. Because it's just too good to even be imagined. We don't know what it's going to be like. How am I supposed to respond to that? Do I fall down on my face and lay on the ground and not dare to look at Him because He's so wonderful? We don't know, do we? We don't know what everybody's going to be doing. We don't even know what we're going to be doing. Verse 15 and 16. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or even as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter of suffering, because you've given your will over to His. Peter reminds us believers not to use the grace of Jesus as a cover for evil doing of any kind. Now, why do I bring that up? Because you know what people do when they get mad at people? They retaliate. They want revenge. They want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
And they even say that's in the Bible.
That's what they want. But that's not what He wants. No retaliation or persecution is permissible. Go back to the cross. Jesus didn't say a word of condemnation. Nothing negative came out of His mouth to the people. He's our example. That's who we go back to. Even seemingly minor sins such as meddling in the business of others is not allowed. We are to suffer for the proclaiming of Christ's gospel and the glory of the Lord, period. If you're suffering for anything else, you're wrong. You're going down the wrong path. Suffer as a Christian, not a criminal. But isn't that what Jesus suffered as? A criminal? Follow Him. Follow Him. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Follow Him. Verse 17 down through 19. For the time has come. The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. It is time for believers to take a stand for their Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. It's time to take a stand. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, it's time to take a stand. Judgment should begin with us first as the examples and followers of Christ. Sometimes when I post things on Facebook or make comments to certain people, and I wonder who's tracking that? Who's going to show up at my doorstep one day and put this in my face and say, "Did you put this on Facebook?" What am I going to say? If it's about Jesus, yeah, I put it on there. And I'll stand by it. And I pray to God I'll have the courage and the fortitude that day to say exactly that. And whatever they do, let them do. Because if it's over here, it's just beginning there. That's the way I look at it. Judgment should begin with us first as examples and followers of Christ. How utterly lost will be those without Christ if we who have trusted the Lord in the work of Christ at Calvary aren't living the gospel? We are their connection. Do you see Jesus walking around? They don't either. They don't care to see Him. At least we care. We'd like to see Him. But they don't care. They don't want to even hear about it. But we know He's coming. We know how lost they will be. Eternally lost. You know what that means?
Forever.
No hope. You see, that's what keeps us going. We have hope.
Right.
Yes. We know what's coming because God's Word has told us, and we have hope for that day. They don't have that, and they'll never have it if they go out of here without Christ. No hope. No thought of it. No chance. Say it however you want. It's over. Eternally lost. No hope. No further hope of redemption. Finally, let us commit ourselves to do the Father's good will as the redeemed of Christ. Do you know what the Father's good will is? It's to testify about Jesus. It's to give the gospel of Christ. That's our assignment. That's His will for us as believers in His church. Go and tell them about Me. Give them the message. Don't worry about how they're going to respond. Just give them the message. Don't worry about saving them. That's not your business. Your business is give them the message. I don't know, should we remind them they have two choices? Jesus loves you. He wants you to be with Him forever. You got two choices. One, you can be with Him in His love forever in a wonderful place. Or two, you can be in the most miserable place you can't even imagine forever. You can't even tell them that because they can't wrap their brain around that. They think that's something made up. But that's their two choices, and that's it. That's the only two they have. Are we going to let them go without telling? You know, that's what churches are all created for. Giving that message. The message of Jesus Christ, His gospel. Father's good will. We're to do it as the redeemed of Christ. Do it. Do it. Don't wonder about it. Don't think about it. Don't debate about it. Just make up your mind. I'm going to do it. And do it. Give back, giving back our life for the glory of the One who gave us life.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. So the choice is yours. You're saved. You're on your way. But the choice is yours of how involved are you going to get out there. I'll let the Holy Spirit lead you.
It's a command. It's not an option.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be, is it? So I pray for you that you will get involved. Get involved.
Let's pray. Father, You offer us a wonderful, wonderful life. And we know that. We know it's a wonderful life, but it's not an easy life. It's not an easy life. It's a life that will bring glory to you, but it's not an easy life. We have to speak up. And we know there's those out there that will not appreciate it. They won't like it. They'll get upset. But Lord, we don't have the option. Just as Randy just said, it's a commandment. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit fulfill your commandment to us to go and tell the message of your gospel. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to go do it. Every time we get an opportunity, not wonder about it, just do it. To bring glory to you and life to them. Life to them. Help us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.